And thanks to the help we get from ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. We'll keep it running for you. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Here it is, another Saturday, the 7th of September. I'm looking at the new weather readings, and as Al just said, it's 48 degrees in the Twin Cities. It's been a while since we used those numerals to give current temps. So definitely fall is in the air, but warm weather is on the way. We'll get to that those details coming along. So summer is not over. I presume that you guys and your crew there at Lloyd's Automotive had a busy week, another busy week.
Yeah, we're in a very good groove. I think, you know, we get to this time of the year and things have kind of settled in. You know, a lot of the folks have are now gone for school, and we're just kind of, you know, those with young kids still are kind of adapting to the routine for the next several months here.
Nick, I want to give our phone number and our text number, which is the same thing. Anybody who has a problem with their car, their truck, or their van, and they need to bring it in for service, but they kind of want to know what could be ailing before they do that. It's always good to have more info. Please call us or text us. Call Nick or text Nick at 651-461-9226. And keep in mind, do it earlier rather than later, because Nick takes his leave about 7:45. Our time goes by really quickly this morning on CCO's Car Care Show. So let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. Nick would be glad to help you out. Nick, is something you guys are familiar with there, and it certainly has happened to me over the years. I've got a picture of a message picture of an engine compartment that was filled with a red squirrel nest. I have never seen anything like it. It was unbelievable. It was almost looked like it was staged by somebody who kind of dumped in a bale of hay and a bunch of black walnuts, whatever they were. Now, you see that from you probably see that more often than you like, right?
We have, and which brings up a good point, that this is the time of the year to start taking some of the food out of your garage, because the critters will start finding a warm place, which starts at the garage and makes its way to your car. So it's a good idea to get that all out of there. Try to do the best you can to mice-proof your garage, which is never perfect, but it's that time of the year to start thinking about that.
Yeah, and even if you don't have food, in this particular case, she did not have any kind of bird seed or any kind of food in the garage. It just it had access and found a warm place. And as my friend Mike Laughlin from Laughlin Pest Control just told me years ago here on CCO, that mice and squirrels, but mice, you know, these vermin kind of folks, they start moving in July and August. So there's evidence right there that the squirrels, maybe they know something the Farmer's Almanac doesn't know. But what I wanted to ask you about is, like this texture says, this could be really costly. What have you seen for repair costs?
It really depends. And we've seen them where they actually get into the main harness of the vehicle, where they eat that insulation to try to make that nest. And that can be extremely costly, where now you're talking about removal of lots of panels and areas to access all that wiring. A lot of times, though, we try to find a way to clean it. We'll use our degreaser, which hopefully kind of gives it a taste that they're not looking for, to keep them, keep it at bay. But it's not easy. You know, you got to be on top of it. You know, there's a lot of products out there that I'm sure we'll be talking about in the next month or two that people tried to have some success. So just, you know, this is a good idea to open your glove box, make sure there's nothing in there. Open your hood, make sure there's nothing that shouldn't be there either. Maybe once or twice this fall, probably wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, that's good advice. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Nick, Steve is calling in from Ham Lake this morning. Thank you, Steve. What is your question for Nick?
Well, I've got a Chevy Trailblazer with 150,000 miles on it, and it's currently throwing code 128, which means the motor's running too cool. I have a 192-degree original thermostat in. The dash gauge hangs up at 10 o'clock, but it'll go up to about 12 o'clock when I run the AC. Now, I run a laser gun on the upper radiator hose flange, and it shows a temperature of 171 when the engine's warmed up as it's going to get. I got to assume that the engine coolant temperature sensor is okay. But my question is, with all this data, I need to know what the factory parameters are for why this code is being set. And I can't seem to find them. They're not in the owner's manual, and they're not in the popular repair manual. Can you help me?
Well, my understanding is, I don't know the actual data, but the 128 is running too cool, but it also will state too long to reach temp. So that thermostat might be the right setting, but it might be bypassing just enough where it's taking the engine too long to reach that operating temperature. The idea is at operating temperature, the vehicle's emissions are at its best or lowest, so they want you to start the car. They want to achieve that running temp and sustain it. So you're correct on the 192 thermostat. That's great. But if it is bypassing, it can take too long to reach that temp. So honestly, I think that your whole issue might just be the thermostat.
All right. I guess that answers the question. I didn't get a response. So I tell you what, I'm getting a signal, too. We need to take a break. If you have a question for Nick, any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text. We're getting more text questions as we speak, too. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Again, Nick will be with us till just about 7:45. Again, our time goes by so quickly on these Saturday mornings. Right now in the Twin Cities, 48 degrees. It's going to be a nice day today. We're going to be hitting about 69 today, 79 tomorrow, 85 Monday, 87 by Wednesday. So again, as I mentioned, summer's still with us. At least it's coming back for a bit. 48 degrees now here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here thanks to folks like Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break up until about 7:45. Call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you might have, 651-461-9226. You're going to have to help me with this one, Nick. Texter says this, brief statement, 300 milliamp continual drain on a 2008 Caravan. Any idea of cause?
That's tough. No, it's too much for sure. I'd like to see it below probably under 100 for sure. 50 or less would be ideal. And what they're referring to is the amount of power being pulled from the battery. Now, 300 milliamp, which is a little more than quarter of an amp, isn't a lot. But if it's continuous, that means it's constantly draining on your battery. Over time, you're going to lose that battle, and the battery won't start the vehicle. So what you need to do is keep the meter on the battery. I guess you could start with removing fuses, see which fuse. Oh, look at it, it went away. Now you go to that circuit for that fuse and see what's on that circuit. Put everything back together, get the drawback. Now go to those items that are accessible on that circuit and start unplugging them. And it's kind of tedious, but sometimes that's what it takes.
All right. Now, this one definitely we have to get a cure for. We can't stand for this one. 2019 RAV4 Hybrid. The AM radio does not work when the car is running. It works if the key is turned one click for power, they say. But AM stations are lost when the engine is started. The FM works fine. So let's get this thing repaired. We can't have that. What's going on there, do you think?
You know, at first I thought something maybe with the ignition switch, but the fact that the FM is still working, my guess would be something with the circuitry to the radio. There's one fuse controlling the whole radio, so I wouldn't be worried about, like, is there one for FM or AM. But something in the tuner itself, which is digital, is losing its ability to process, I guess. So you should, like Denny said, get that in, get it looked at. We need to have that AM radio working.
Absolutely. We have to hear Nick every Saturday, for sure. Now, there's another option, too, which I'm lucky to have in my car. Sandy is, too, with her truck. Is AM, FM, HD radio. That's what I was looking for. CCO sounds great there. So you're lucky if you have one of those. Fantastic. 2015 Cadillac, the Q screen freezes up. What is that? What is this listener talking about there?
I think they're referring to the panel on the dash, you know, kind of the, you know, everything's digital. You know, you go far enough back and everything was vacuum-controlled knobs that you would pull, and then we had the electric knob that we turn. Well, now we have digital screens that we touch. That it's freezing up. It is pretty much like a little computer, you know, a little digital screen with a computer behind it. So something in that processor isn't resetting, or something with the RAM isn't able to compute. So there might be a process to reset it. I don't know offhand. You can do a little research there. If you can reset it first, if that doesn't solve it, you probably have to get it in to have it looked at, possibly replaced.
I know we don't talk about specific vehicles as far as, hey, buy this car, don't buy this car, and this kind of a thing. I'm looking at a text, and I know you can't comment like that, but they love the show. Thank you. This person is in the process of purchasing a new vehicle. They've narrowed their choices down to two, a new Toyota 4Runner or a new Toyota Land Cruiser. I think those are great choices, personally. Have you seen, Texter says, either in your shop more often than the other? What seems to be the issues with each? Either one is more expensive to maintain than the other. I guess, again, there's only so many comments you can comment there. Both of those, I would say, in my opinion, are darn good vehicles.
I would agree. I think it's a good brand. My my predecessor just bought a new one of those, so there's a stamp of approval from him. I drive a big Chevy pickup because I have to plow snow. So, you know, it's a matter of what your life has. You know, I'm currently sitting outside of a hockey arena, too, so I haul kids to hockey year-round also. So depends on your needs. As far as the maintenance go, I think that's a good brand. We do see a lot of them because there's a lot of them on the road. But I don't feel that there's a lot of, like, unnecessary repairs. I think they're designed well. If you maintain them well, like with any vehicle, that's the biggest thing you can do is take care of it. I think they're great vehicles to last a long time.
Now, isn't that true? Maintenance still comes down to that. I was looking at a video of a guy who evidently owns some repair shop somewhere in this country, not around here. But he was talking about oil changes again and recommended intervals of oil changes. And he was mentioning that synthetic blend, that term. I mean, you and I talk about conventional oil. Is there, and synthetic, full synthetic, but I guess there's a blend too. I only use full synthetic, but they still make a blend, or is that pretty common?
So I haven't researched recently, but the word synthetic is kind of a general term. There are a few full synthetic oils out there. I do also believe that most products, that even our conventional oil that we buy now, says semi-blend. So everything has some chemistry done to it, which I think at that point it's considered synthetic. Like they've done some manipulating with the oil. If it's a branded oil, and you look at the prices and you read the one that says full synthetic or 100% synthetic, at that point I think they have to be truthful, say it truly is full or 100%. If it says just synthetic or semi-synthetic, there's a variation there, which isn't measured. So I think depending on the vehicle, what the vehicle's asking for, but a conventional oil, a semi-synthetic oil, I think are mostly the same thing. I'm sure there's a chemist out there that can prove me right or wrong. And then when it says full synthetic or 100% synthetic, which costs more, which you'll notice, is the real deal.
And this guy who ran his own shop said as far as intervals, he kind of liked, as far as full synthetic, around 7,000. I think he was kind of trading off the difference between the 5,000 level change and the 10,000 that some manufacturers say is okay. He liked that 7,000, but he said it depends how you drive. If you drive very little, you should change it more often. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, that's the hard thing. It's the reason I go to 5,000 and 3,000, you know, which we have kind of curtailed over the years of experience. It's my opinion that we're doing more mechanical oil-related repairs than we used to because the requirements or the stress that the oil is under these newer vehicles, tighter tolerances, tighter emissions, there's a lot more pressure, a lot more use of the oil that we see it breaking down. We see sludge. We see overheating, stretching, timing components. So we see more of these things. That's what we've kind of curtailed and said, I think 5,000 is kind of the limit. But I think, is 7,000 fine? on the right vehicle, the right driving habits, sure. I think he's saying more often as it sits, because in our climate, we do the freeze-thaw, that you end up with a lot more moisture, condensation in the oil where it gets that milky substance. So if you drive it just the right amount, it burns all that moisture off and the oil is good. If you don't drive it enough, condensation. You drive it too much, well, then it wears the oil out. So you have to kind of find that balance.
Yeah, that middle ground.
Yeah,
the middle ground. Yeah, that makes sense now that you put it in that perspective. Okay, tell you what, hang on. We're going to take a break, see what that forecast. I think summer's coming back. We'll talk about that. We have a few more minutes, of course, for your car care question. Nick will take his leave about 7:45, just ahead of Ted Ferrell's Wine Chat. So call us, text us, 651-461-9226. On the 7th of September, this Saturday morning, from News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, I wanted to ask you, for those folks that maybe need some help and would like to stop by and get some help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, need some advice before you take it into your shop or dealership, please don't hesitate to call. We're at 651-228-1316. And as you mentioned, if you want to stop and say hi, we're at 982 Grand, which is the corner of Grand and Chatsworth on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. And finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
You know, I want to take just a second out to wish your technician, Jeff, who's retiring, a great rest of his adventure there. He's a great guy and a great mechanic, and I bet you guys are going to miss Jeff.
100%. It's you know, we've had a couple here in the last few years that have retired. You know, Marvin did, and, you know, Dan is still around, but not as much as he used to. So it's changing. A little note, though, that Jeff was the first person I ever hired when I worked for Dan. So it's been a really long journey.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, again, we wish Jeff well. Now, is that I tell you, we talk about it from time to time. That's still a good gig, isn't it? It's a great job. If you maybe you have a child or grandchild who's kind of has that interest in automobile repair, it's a great job.
It really is. You know, it's evolved so much over the years. It's so much more technical and computerized, and it's not the grease monkey job. You know, I mean, I've been in this industry since I was 15 when I started working for Dan at a service station, which there's very few of those around anymore. And it's definitely different now than it was then. And I'm happy to be part of it. I'm happy to be part of Lloyd's. We have a great staff, a great team, great customers, relationships like yourself. I couldn't be prouder, honestly.
Yeah, you got a great place there, for sure. All right, we'll get to that info before Nick takes his leave here, which just is in a few minutes from now. Listener says this via text, Nick: how to safely store a 2023 Chevy Volt during the winter months for a snowbird. Now, that's an electric car now. How different are storage rules for that, do you think?
I honestly don't know. As you know, I'm going to refer you to the owner's manual. I'm not sure if it's something which should be left plugged in. I'm sure there's a pretty good ruling on that. So I would do my research. I would check with the dealership. It's a newer vehicle. Say, here's what my plans are. You know, on a traditional vehicle, you know, we have some steps that we do that are just more of a maintenance and a convenience. But on an electric vehicle with that battery, I'm sure it'll depend if it's a climate-controlled garage or not. So I would tell this texter to get hold of the dealership, read the owner's manual, and try to follow their recommendations.
I was watching another video from an auto repair place not around here that recommended kind of what we talk about from time to time, is that if you're going to be buying a used vehicle from anyone, private party dealer, it makes no difference, to get that thing checked out, because this person was saying just finding out the least bit of information, it could save you tons of money down the road. So when somebody calls Lloyd's and they want to get that vehicle inspected that they're thinking of buying, what is the technician doing? What is he looking for? What does he do?
Well, I like to call it a very, very thorough visual inspection. You know, you do remove some of the panels to, you know, get a closer look, but you're not disassembling the engine. You know, a couple of things you can rest assured. If the check engine light is off, assuming someone didn't just shut it off, the bulk of it is in good working order. We're trying to find out how well has it been maintained. If there is a repair that was done to try to sell something as advertised, I would say that we want to do that. Any maintenance records is always nice. You know, keep in mind, people sell a vehicle for lots of reasons. They're ready for a new one. There might be something wrong with it. We don't know. And collecting as much information to, you know, inform our customer what they're buying can help them with negotiation on the price of the vehicle. It can help planning for maintenance or if there's some sort of repair that we should maybe have a better conversation about.
Okay. Nick, this texter does not say what kind of a vehicle it is, but they weren't sure whenever the tires have been rotated. When should tires be rotated is their question.
You know, we'd like to say every other oil change is kind of a rule of thumb I like. But it depends on the vehicle and the wear of the tires. You know, we inspect the tire tread, not just the tread depth, but how it's wearing across the tire. You know, if the inner edges, outer edges, if there's any feathering or cupping, we like to move them around to give the tires the chance to last the longest. So the idea of rotating the tires is to move them around so you're wearing different parts of the tire as you're using them and driving down the road. So every other is kind of a nice rule of thumb. Depends on the vehicle and the wear on the tires currently, I guess.
I'm looking at a text that just came in. I haven't thought about this in a long time, and I should know the answer to this. But I remember when adding coolant tons of years ago to my brother's Chevy, it was a mixture. Sometimes I just added water. And the question is, in a nutshell here, is a coolant that is used in automobiles now, is that a mixture of coolant and water, or is it just 100% coolant?
It's still a mixture, but keep in mind, we probably have, I don't know, 8 or 10 different coolants at the shop because the specifications have changed. It used to be just the green stuff, right? And that was bad for decades, right? Well, you also had to change the coolant every other year, every third year, where now this stuff lasts, I don't want to say the life of the vehicle, because that's not true, but 100,000 miles or better, and the systems are sealed so much better, so we're not burning any off or using any. So the systems are better. If you do need to top it up, make sure whatever product you're buying, that it says it's for your vehicle. You look in the owner's manual once again. It's going to tell you a specification. If those numbers match up, you're fine to top it off with that.
Very good. Nick, we're out of time. Let's do this again next week if you have the time, and I hope you do. Again, for those folks that need your assistance from Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. If you have a question or need some advice, 651-228-1316. If you're driving down Grand Avenue or two blocks east of Lexington Parkway, 982 Grand. And finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing, and let's talk again next week.
Sounds like a plan.
Very good. Thank you, Nick. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. Ted, of course, from Haskell's, carrying on the tradition of his father, Jack. We'll talk with Ted here in a moment. And then get those lawn and garden questions ready in the 8 o'clock hour, because Julie Weisenhorn will be joined by the turf guru, the lawn expert, turf expert, John Trappe, both from the University of Minnesota. That's next hour here on Newstalk 830 WCCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And thanks to the help we get from ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. We'll keep it running for you. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
Here it is, another Saturday, the 7th of September. I'm looking at the new weather readings, and as Al just said, it's 48 degrees in the Twin Cities. It's been a while since we used those numerals to give current temp. So definitely fall is in the air, but warm weather is on the way. We'll get to that those details coming along. So summer is not over. I presume that you guys and your crew there at Lloyd's Automotive had a busy week, another busy week.
Yeah, we're in a very good groove. I think, you know, we get to this time of the year and things have kind of settled in. You know, a lot of the folks have are now gone for school, and we're just kind of, you know, those with young kids still are kind of adapting to the routine for the next several months here.
Nick, I want to give our phone number and our text number, which is the same thing. Anybody who has a problem with their car, their truck, or their van, and they need to bring it in for service, but they kind of want to know what could be ailing before they do that. It's always good to have more info. Please call us or text us. Call Nick or text Nick at 651-461-9226. And keep in mind, do it earlier rather than later, because Nick takes his leave about 7:45. Our time goes by really quickly this morning on CCO's Car Care Show. So let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. Nick would be glad to help you out. Nick, is something you guys are familiar with there, and it certainly has happened to me over the years. I've got a picture of a message picture of an engine compartment that was filled with a red squirrel nest. I have never seen anything like it. It was unbelievable. It was almost looked like it was staged by somebody who kind of dumped in a bale of hay and a bunch of black walnuts, whatever they were. Now, you see that from you probably see that more often than you like, right?
We have, and which brings up a good point, that this is the time of the year to start taking some of the food out of your garage, because the critters will start finding a warm place, which starts at the garage and makes its way to your car. So it's a good idea to get that all out of there. Try to do the best you can to mice-proof your garage, which is never perfect, but it's that time of the year to start thinking about that.
Yeah, and even if you don't have food, in this particular case, she did not have any kind of bird seed or any kind of food in the garage. It just it had access and found a warm place. And as my friend Mike Laughlin from Laughlin Pest Control just told me years ago here on CCO, that mice and squirrels, but mice, you know, these vermin kind of folks, they start moving in July and August. So there's evidence right there that the squirrels, maybe they know something the Farmer's Almanac doesn't know. But what I wanted to ask you about is, like this texter says, this could be really costly. What have you seen for repair costs?
It really depends. And we've seen them where they actually get into the main harness of the vehicle, where they eat that insulation to try to make that nest. And that can be extremely costly, where now you're talking about removal of lots of panels and areas to access all that wiring. A lot of times, though, we try to find a way to clean it. We'll use our degreaser, which hopefully kind of gives it a taste that they're not looking for, to keep them, keep it at bay. But it's not easy. You know, you got to be on top of it. You know, there's a lot of products out there that we'll be talking about the next month or two that people tried to have some success. So just, you know, this is a good idea to open your glove box, make sure there's nothing in there. Open your hood, make sure there's nothing that shouldn't be there either. Maybe once or twice this fall, probably wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, that's good advice. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Nick, Steve is calling in from Ham Lake this morning. Thank you, Steve. What is your question for Nick?
Well, I've got a Chevy Trailblazer with 150,000 miles on it, and it's currently throwing code 128, which means the motor's running too cool. I have a 192-degree original thermostat in The dash gauge hangs up at 10 o'clock, but it'll go up to about 12 o'clock when I run the AC. Now, I run a laser gun on the upper radiator hose flange, and it shows a temperature of 171 when the engine's warmed up as it's going to get. I got to assume that the engine coolant temperature sensor is okay. But my question is, with all this data, I need to know what the factory parameters are for why this code is being set. And I can't seem to find them. They're not in the owner's manual, and they're not in the popular repair manual. Can you help me?
Well, my understanding is, I don't know the actual data, but the 128 is running too cool, but it also will state too long to reach temp. So that thermostat might be the right setting, but it might be bypassing just enough where it's taking the engine too long to reach that operating temperature. The idea is at operating temperature, the vehicle's emissions are at its best or lowest, so they want you to start the car. They want to achieve that running temp and sustain it. So you're correct on the 192 thermostat. That's great. But if it is bypassing, it can take too long to reach that temp. So honestly, I think that your whole issue might just be the thermostat.
All right. I guess that answers the question. I didn't get a response. So I tell you what, I'm getting a signal, too. We need to take a break. If you have a question for Nick, any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text. We're getting more text questions as we speak, too. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Again, Nick will be with us till just about 7:45. Again, our time goes by so quickly on these Saturday mornings. Right now in the Twin Cities, 48 degrees. It's going to be a nice day today. We're going to be hitting about 69 today, 79 tomorrow, 85 Monday, 87 by Wednesday. So again, as I mentioned, summer's still with us. At least it's coming back for a bit. 48 degrees now here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here thanks to folks like Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break up until about 7:45. Call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you might have, 651-461-9226. You're going to have to help me with this one, Nick. Texter says this, brief statement, 300 milliamp continual drain on a 2008 Caravan. Any idea of cause?
That's tough. No, it's too much for sure. I'd like to see it below probably under 100 for sure. 50 or less would be ideal. And what they're referring to is the amount of power being pulled from the battery. Now, 300 milliamp, which is a little more than quarter of an amp, isn't a lot. But if it's continuous, that means it's constantly draining on your battery. Over time, you're going to lose that battle, and the battery won't start the vehicle. So what you need to do is keep the meter on the battery. I guess you could start with removing fuses, see which fuse. Oh, look at it, it went away. Now you go to that circuit for that fuse and see what's on that circuit. Put everything back together, get the drawback. Now go to those items that are accessible on that circuit and start unplugging them. And it's kind of tedious, but sometimes that's what it takes.
All right. Now, this one definitely we have to get a cure for. We can't stand for this one. 2019 RAV4 Hybrid. The AM radio does not work when the car is running. It works if the key is turned one click for power, they say. But AM stations are lost when the engine is started. The FM works fine. So let's get this thing repaired. We can't have that. What's going on there, do you think?
You know, at first I thought something maybe with the ignition switch, but the fact that the FM is still working, my guess would be something with the circuitry to the radio. There's one fuse controlling the whole radio, so I wouldn't be worried about, like, is there one for FM or AM. But something in the tuner itself, which is digital, is losing its ability to process, I guess. So you should, like Denny said, get that in, get it looked at. We need to have that AM radio working.
Absolutely. We have to hear Nick every Saturday, for sure. Now, there's another option, too, which I'm lucky to have in my car. Sandy is, too, with her truck. is AM, FM, HD radio. That's what I was looking for. CCO sounds great there. So you're lucky if you have one of those. Fantastic. 2015 Cadillac, the Q screen freezes up. What is that? What is this listener talking about there?
I think they're referring to the panel on the dash, you know, kind of the, you know, everything's digital. You know, you go far enough back and everything was vacuum-controlled knobs that you would pull, and then had the electric knob that we turn. Well, now we have digital screens that we touch. That it's freezing up. It is pretty much like a little computer, you know, a little digital screen with a computer behind it. So something in that processor isn't resetting, or something with the RAM isn't able to compute. So there might be a process to reset it. I don't know offhand. You can do a little research there. If you can reset it first, if that doesn't solve it, you probably have to get it in to have it looked at, possibly replaced.
I know we don't talk about specific vehicles as far as, buy this car, don't buy this car, and this kind of a thing. I'm looking at a text, and I know you can't comment like that, but they love the show. Thank you. This person is in the process of purchasing a new vehicle. They've narrowed their choices down to two, a new Toyota 4Runner or a new Toyota Land Cruiser. I think those are great choices, personally. Have you seen, Texter says, either in your shop more often than the other? What seems to be the issues with each? Either one is more expensive to maintain than the other. I guess, again, there's only so many comments you can comment there. Both of those, I would say, in my opinion, are darn good vehicles.
I would agree. I think it's a good brand. My my predecessor just bought a new one of those, so there's a stamp of approval from him. I drive a big Chevy pickup because I have to plow snow. So, you know, it's a matter of what your life has. You know, I'm currently sitting outside of a hockey arena, too, so I haul kids to hockey year-round also. So depends on your needs. As far as the maintenance go, I think that's a good brand. We do see a lot of them because there's a lot of them on the road, but I don't feel that there's a lot of, like, unnecessary repairs. I think they're designed well. If you maintain them well, like with any vehicle, that's the biggest thing you can do is take care of it. I think they're great vehicles to last a long time.
Now, isn't that true? Maintenance still comes down to that. I was looking at a video of a guy who evidently owns some repair shop somewhere in this country, not around here. But he was talking about oil changes again and recommended intervals of oil changes. And he was mentioning that synthetic blend, that term. I mean, you and I talk about conventional oil. Is there, and synthetic, full synthetic, but I guess there's a blend, too. I only use full synthetic, but they still make a blend, or is that pretty common?
So I haven't researched recently, but the word synthetic is kind of a general term. There are a few full synthetic oils out there. I do also believe that most products, that even our conventional oil that we buy now, says semi-blend. So everything has some chemistry done to it, which I think at that point it's considered synthetic. Like they've done some manipulating with the oil. If it's a branded oil, and you look at the prices and you read the one that says full synthetic or 100% synthetic, at that point I think they have to be truthful, say it truly is full or 100%. If it says just synthetic or semi-synthetic, there's a variation there, which isn't measured. So I think depending on the vehicle, what the vehicle's asking for, but a conventional oil, a semi-synthetic oil, I think are mostly the same thing. I'm sure there's a chemist out there that can prove me right or wrong. And then when it says full synthetic or 100% synthetic, which costs more, which you'll notice, is the real deal.
And this guy who ran his own shop said as far as intervals, he kind of liked, as far as full synthetic, around 7,000. I think he was kind of trading off the difference between the 5,000 level change and the 10,000 that some manufacturers say is okay. He liked that 7,000, but he said it depends how you drive. If you drive very little, you should change it more often. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, that's the hard thing. It's the reason I go to 5,000 and 3,000, you know, which we have kind of curtailed over the years of experience. It's my opinion that we're doing more mechanical oil-related repairs than we used to because the requirements or the stress that the oil is under these newer vehicles, tighter tolerances, tighter emissions, there's a lot more pressure, a lot more use of the oil, that we see it breaking down. We see sludge. We see overheating, stretching, timing components. So we see more of these things. That's what we've kind of curtailed and said, I think 5,000 is kind of the limit. But I think, is 7,000 fine? On the right vehicle, the right driving habits, sure. I think he's saying more often as it sits, because in our climate, we do the freeze-thaw, that you end up with a lot more moisture condensation in the oil where it gets that milky substance. So if you drive it just the right amount, it burns all that moisture off and the oil is good. If you don't drive it enough, condensation. You drive it too much, well, then it wears the oil out. So you have to kind of find that balance.
Yeah, that middle ground.
Yeah,
the middle ground. Yeah, that makes sense now that you put it in that perspective. Okay, tell you what, hang on. We're going to take a break, see what that forecast. I think summer's coming back. We'll talk about that. We have a few more minutes, of course, for your car care question. Nick will take his leave about 7:45, just ahead of Ted Ferrell's Wine Chat. So call us, text us, 651-461-9226. On the 7th of September, this Saturday morning, from News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, I wanted to ask you, for those folks that maybe need some help and would like to stop by and get some help from Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, need some advice before you take it into your shop or dealership, please don't hesitate to call. We're at 651-228-1316. And as you mentioned, if you want to stop and say hi, we're at 982 Grand, which is the corner of Grand and Chatsworth on Grand Avenue in St. Paul. And finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
You know, I want to take just a second out to wish your technician, Jeff, who's retiring, a great rest of his adventure there. He's a great guy and a great mechanic, and I bet you guys are going to miss Jeff.
100%. You know, we've had a couple here in the last few years that have retired. You know, Marvin did, and, you know, Dan is still around, but not as much as he used to. So it's changing. A little note, though, that Jeff was the first person I ever hired when I worked for Dan. So it's been a really long journey.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, again, we wish Jeff well. Now, is that, I tell you, we talk about it from time to time. That's still a good gig, isn't it? It's a great job. If you maybe you have a child or grandchild who's kind of has that interest in automobile repair, it's a great job.
It really is. You know, it's evolved so much over the years. It's so much more technical and computerized, and it's not the grease monkey job. You know, I mean, I've been in this industry since I was 15 when I started working for Dan at a service station, which there's very few of those around anymore. And it's definitely different now than it was then. And I'm happy to be part of it. I'm happy to be part of Lloyd's. We have a great staff, a great team, great customers, relationships like yourself. I couldn't be prouder, honestly.
Yeah, you got a great place there, for sure. All right, we'll get to that info before Nick takes his leave here, which just is in a few minutes from now. Listener says this via text, Nick. How to safely store a 2023 Chevy Volt during the winter months for a snowbird. Now, that's an electric car now. How different are storage rules for that, do you think?
I honestly don't know. As you know, I'm going to refer you to the owner's manual. I'm not sure if it's something which should be left plugged in. I'm sure there's a pretty good ruling on that. So I would do my research. I would check with the dealership. It's a newer vehicle. I'd say, here's what my plans are. You know, on a traditional vehicle, you know, we have some steps that we do that are just more of a maintenance and a convenience. But on an electric vehicle with that battery, I'm sure it'll depend if it's a climate-controlled garage or not. So I would tell this texter to get hold of the dealership, read the owner's manual, and try to follow their recommendations.
I was watching another video from an auto repair place not around here that recommended kind of what we talk about. From time to time, is that if you're going to be buying a used vehicle from anyone, private party dealer, it makes no difference, to get that thing checked out, because this person was saying just finding out the least bit of information, it could save you tons of money down the road. So when somebody calls Lloyd's and they want to get that vehicle inspected that they're thinking of buying, what kind of what is the technician doing? What is he looking for? What does he do?
Well, I like to call it a very, very thorough visual inspection. You know, you do remove some of the panels to, you know, get a closer look, but you're not disassembling the engine. You know, a couple of things you can rest assured. If the check engine light is off, assuming someone didn't just shut it off, the bulk of it is in good working order. We're trying to find out how well has it been maintained. If there is a repair that was done to try to sell something as advertised, I would say like we want to do that. Any maintenance records is always nice. You know, keep in mind, people sell a vehicle for lots of reasons. They're ready for a new one. There might be something wrong with it. We don't know. And collecting as much information to, you know, inform our customer what they're buying can help them with negotiation on the price of the vehicle. It can help planning for maintenance or if there's some sort of repair that we should maybe have a better conversation about.
Okay. Nick, this texter does not say what kind of a vehicle it is, but they weren't sure if at all, if whenever the tires have been rotated, when should tires be rotated is their question.
You know, we'd like to say every other oil change is kind of a rule of thumb I like, but it depends on the vehicle and the wear of the tires. You know, we inspect the tire tread, not just the tread depth, but how it's wearing across the tire, you know, if the inner edges, outer edges, if there's any feathering or cupping, we like to move them around to give the tires the chance to last the longest. So the idea of rotating the tires is to move them around so you're wearing different parts of the tire as you're using them and driving down the road. So every other is kind of a nice rule of thumb, depends on the vehicle and the wear on the tires currently, I guess.
I'm looking at a text that just came in. I haven't thought about this in a long time, and I should know the answer to this. But I remember when adding coolant tons of years ago to my brother's Chevy, it was a mixture. Sometimes I just added water. And the question is, in a nutshell here, is a coolant that is used in automobiles now, is that a mixture of coolant and water, or is it just 100% coolant?
It's still a mixture, but keep in mind, we probably have, I don't know, 8 or 10 different coolants at the shop because the specifications have changed. It used to be just the green stuff, right? And that was bad for decades, right? Well, you also had to change the coolant every other year, every third year, where now this stuff lasts, I don't want to say the life of the vehicle, because that's not true, but 100,000 miles or better, and the systems are sealed so much better, so we're not burning any off or using any. So the systems are better. If you do need to top it up, make sure whatever product you're buying that it says it's for your vehicle. You look in the owner's manual once again. It's going to tell you a specification. If those numbers match up, you're fine to top it off with that.
Very good. Nick, we're out of time. Let's do this again next week if you have the time, and I hope you do. Again, for those folks that need your assistance from Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. If you have a question or need some advice, 651-228-1316. If you're driving down Grand Avenue or two blocks east of Lexington Parkway, 982 Grand. And finally, do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing, and let's talk again next week.
Sounds like a plan.
Very good. Thank you, Nick. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Stay tuned next for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. Ted, of course, from Haskell's, carrying on the tradition of his father, Jack. We'll talk with Ted here in a moment, and then get those lawn and garden questions ready in the 8 o'clock hour, because Julie Weisenhorn will be joined by the turf guru, the lawn expert, turf expert John Trappe, both from the University of Minnesota. That's next hour here on Newstalk 830 WCCO.